Welcome, everybody, to episode 316, the Stone Cold edition of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John. And if I'm not a year behind, I'm a week ahead. So last week I referred to the show as May 16th. Today is actually May 16th, so my apologies for that. But there you go, a little bit of time travel.
Always a little bit of time travel. And technically the 2.0 version of the 316 show, because we got to start it over. So, you know, it's so nice, we'll do it twice.
Yeah, so, hey, that rhymes. I like that. what's happening with you? Anything new this week?
No, man. We still haven't sold our house. I sold my car. Construction in the village has stopped.
And the thief who stole your gold.
Goat thief is
on the loose.
Is still on the loose, and we have, you know, this is now like national news. It's like the TV stations have it. There's like people, if you search East Troy goat stealing, there's like all over the web now. It's its own thing. It's a little ridiculous, but you know, no goats have been found. We did find what we thought looked like our goats. Carrie saw them when we were like driving out of town.
Of course.
It was somebody else's goats. They were not our goats. So
Carrie's on the lookout.
She is totally. Yes, she does.
Oh, well,
you got all rain, so you're underwater by now, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, my yard, my front yard, especially my backyard, it's a sponge. So when you walk on it, you hear that squishy noise, and that's always terrible. It's very hard to mow the grass when the grass is that wet. But you know, this is that time of year where I've got a pretty sizable plot of land, both the front and back yards, and I kind of hate it because it takes so long to weed whack. There's so many little stones and trees and everything else I got to weed whack. It drives me nuts. But I've got all this yard power equipment, you know, 2-cycle engines, 4-cycle, 3-cycle, who knows what else. But these things require a ratio of 40 to 1, 50 to 1. So you got to get the right oil to gas mixture ratios. And you try and start the thing and never wants to start. All these things are pieces of crap. And I just,
it's true.
So I recently got a Toro air blower, which was pretty nice. And it worked for about a year. And then for whatever reason, it just decided it didn't want to run anymore. So I take it into this shop that works on small engines. Mm-hmm. And they're telling me it needs a new carburetor. Ugh. I have no idea why it needs a new carburetor because I took care of it. I did the precautions. I store it without gas inside the tank and the fuel lines.
Right.
So whatever. So $35, $40. Okay, I guess got to get that fixed. Then I found out my Craftsman chainsaw has a square cylinder, meaning it can't generate compression, or a square piston mm-hmm. cylinder, something like that.
Yeah.
And then so they said you have to scrap it. So what the, you know, I go through these things are like, like toys, you know, cheap. Like just disposable and they don't last nearly as long as they should.
Yep.
Even if you take care of them.
That's exactly right. So we had the same experience with our lawnmower. Like, I've owned this house for 5 years and we've had 2 lawnmowers. The first one eventually just stopped working. And it was like, well, do you pay someone $500 to rebuild an engine or a carburetor? No, you spend $500 on a new stupid lawnmower. And we don't have as much land as you do, Jeff, but our third of an acre that we have, we can just push or you get a little motorized one. But like the day after we got that lawnmower, or, you know, the week after we got it and I was able to use it, the back wheel like fell off in the process of it falling off, because only the back wheels are what push the mower.
Self-propelled.
Yep. So you go, then it stripped out the gear for that wheel. And so I had to like take the wheel apart, flip the gear, 'cause it was all like stripped on one side. And so now it has worked and held up now for about 2 years. But every time you go to turn a corner, it's a brand new lawnmower that fell apart before anyone could even use it out of the box. Like the other wheel was perfectly installed and on, and the other one was not. Like, it's a wheel. This is how people feel about WordPress. Let's bring it all back. This is how plugins.
And sometimes when I'm using these lawnmowers and they're brand new and I'm trying to do something, I'm like, do they even test these things? Right. Is there even a user? I mean, come on now. Mm-hmm.
And that's how, crap. That is how people feel about plugins and themes and all that kind of stuff too. And so it really makes you appreciate older things that were meant to last. I've made this analogy about video games before.
How many times have you heard that in your day so far? And we're still youngins, I guess, by comparison. But they just don't make them like they used to.
I know, and that's what everyone has been. You know, it's phrases like that contribute to the problem, because it's so easy to say that phrase without really telling people what that means. And it's 100% true. That is how I feel about a lot of things. That's how I feel about computers, phones, everything. Software. What are you,
you're in your 30s, right?
I'll be 39 year. So, well,
and you're already seeing it.
Well, that was like I tweeted the other day that old people looked a lot older when I was young than they do now that I'm old. Because I saw a picture of, so you know there's a new Karate Kid movie?
Yeah, Cobra Kai. It's like a 10-episode series on YouTube, right?
And so when we were kids, Pat Morita was supposed to be the 50-year-old dad, and he looked like he was a 100-year-old ninja. Right? He looked like a guru man. But now that what's the kid's name? Now that he's an adult, he's the 50-year-old man, and he's all handsome and like fit and looks like, you know, a beautiful karate dad man guy. And it's like, wow, he's a 50-year-old man now, but a 50-year-old man when we were kids looked like he was on the verge of death, and a 50-year-old man today looks like a teenage boy. How does that happen? Like, how have we come this far where, like, everything is kind of different and kind of fake and kind of not good compared to what it was back then? I don't know. Software, lawnmowers, two-stroke engines.
Microwaves.
Microwaves, appliances. Like, our refrigerator, we got new appliances two years ago, and they're great. But our refrigerator is the loudest thing in the house. Like, it's whining and it's making noises and gurgling and doing stuff where, like,
it's its own orchestra.
And it's a brand new refrigerator. And then you look online and everyone's like, yep, refrigerator's loud. That's just how it is. No, why does it have to, like, refrigerators don't sound like this, but this one does, and that's okay. I don't know. So I feel your pain. I understand how you feel.
Thank you, Sam. So now I'm in the market for a new chainsaw. And by the way, if I can, for whatever new power equipment I purchase in the future, it will be gas only. I don't want to, if I can, I don't want to mess with oil gas mixture ratios.
Yeah,
it sucks. And then at the it's hard to dispose of too. You can't just throw that stuff out or pour it away. So now I have to worry about this. Home life.
We got battery, lithium ion battery, like not a chainsaw. That one's not going to be good for, you're not going to cut much with a battery, but all the basic trimmers and that stuff, we've got battery powered.
Yeah, I just have a yard that's too big and batteries don't make sense.
Yeah.
And I need that power from a gas powered weed whacker or whatever else. All right. So that's a little bit of our.
I'm excited next week to hear what you get.
You're probably nothing because I can't afford anything.
Oh, yeah. It's because everything is $500.
Well, you know, at the end of this month, Smokey's got his pee-pee surgery.
Oh, yeah. How old is he now?
He's getting his manhood taken care of. Oh, he's about seven months.
He'll be okay. Seven months? Yeah, it's about.
Snip, snip, so he can't go around the neighborhood doing what he wants to do.
That's important for everyone involved. That is a very neighborly thing. He is making a very grand sacrifice for.
And maybe if our listeners are lucky, you'll hear him barking at the neighbor as he's mowing his grass. Well, he's gotten very barky lately. So we do have WordPress stuff to talk about.
Actually, we do eventually. Yeah,
this is WordPress Weekly, not
lawn maintenance weekly,
the crappy part of adulting weekly. So we'll start off with this happened, I believe, last week. The Google Analytics dashboard for WordPress plugin has been acquired by Syed Balki. And this plugin is has 17 million downloads. Last checked, it's been actively installed on 1 million plus sites. So that's quite a few websites. And he acquired this plugin from Alan Marceau, and it's been rebranded to Exact Metrics. So if you go to exactmetrics.com, you can find all kinds of information on the plugin. Now, if you don't know who Syed Balki is, which would be kind of crazy, he is the founder of Awesome Motive, and he's behind Optin Monster, WP Beginner, WP Forms, Monster Insights, which was actually Monster Insights was a recent acquisition. Was it a year or two ago, in the WP Mail SMTP plugin. So aside from the ownership of the new name, he says that this acquisition is just going to be business as usual for existing users. And in a future release, you'll see the plugin icon change in the WordPress admin area. We actually use this plugin on the Tavern, and I've already noticed on the right hand side, there's already some call outs to other plugins by the same company. So he's already taking care of the advertising real estate as far as as far as the plugin goes. But he says that running an analytics plugin at scale comes with plenty of challenges, and they've learned a lot from their experiences over the years. He says that they want to take what they've learned from Monster Insights and combine it with the best of Exact Metrics to create a new version that he knows that publishers will love. So there you go. Undisclosed amount. No one knows how much you paid for it. That's usually how these things go. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But if you notice changes in the Google Analytics dashboard for WordPress plugin, now you know why.
It's Syed is very strategically like plucking up really, really good, very strong projects. So this is not surprising to see, but it's exciting to see what they will do with it next. I like the here's the thing I liked when I saw this happen is, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyways. Is analytics are hard to make, like, be exact. They're hard to have be, you know, updated very regularly. They're usually processed and batched or everything else. And so naming something Exact Metrics does give folks a lot of confidence in how the product will work, which is really brilliant name for this, because even if it doesn't provide like real-time analytics, like exact to the second when you're looking at them, you kind of hints that maybe that's what they're working towards. And it kind of subconsciously makes that promise, which is a pretty interesting strategy for this, because that's what people want is precision with their analytics. So
with analytics in general, there's no standard. So if you install five different analytics software suites, you're going to get five different views of how things are going.
It's kind of a
head scratcher.
So it's a great name. So I don't know who exactly came up with the name, but kudos on what I think.
But so speaking of analytics, I know that it will probably always have a use and it's always good to have. But I mean, with the GDPR, with anonymizing data, and with, you know, really not being able to see referrers these days or refer URLs in Google because they hide them now. Does it seem like the usefulness of analytics data is going by the wayside?
No, I think it's just getting much more complicated.
Oh.
Yeah, I think every time that that something gets stopped, you just got to go around the blockade and try and find a different way around. So yeah, just because referrers aren't there doesn't mean that they're less precise or that they're just going to change. They're just going to look different. And I think for every time it gets harder, it does make analytics a little bit less accessible to most folks, or like open source initiatives like PWIC. I know it got renamed. I don't know what it's called anymore.
Matomo.
But like it being able to have your own analytics is going to become more difficult than it was before. I had a good example, but I can't think of it. What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, if you just take a look at, if you install Google Analytics, or if you use Google Analytics and you log into the Google Analytics dashboard and you start looking at all the data that's presented to you, it's like, well, where do begin? What do? Well, you got to dig in here and you got to dig here. Well, I just want to know about page views and I just want to know about this. But you got to go through hell and high water to see the data that you want. You know, just simple things. You know, I don't need reports and I don't need all this other stuff. I'm not that in depth into Google Analytics. In fact, I think there are even courses and certifications out there. You can get certified to be like a professional with Google Analytics.
Sure.
Because it presents you with so much data.
Yep. That was like the watching AWS, like watching all of Amazon's dashboard and their related services become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like, oh yeah, they can have everything, but you need to know what it's named, what it's called, what it does, why you use it, how to bolt it together, everything else. So same kind of, I don't know if it's a problem, but it is the same kind of thing for sure.
So here's,
I was going to say there was a firm, I read an article somewhere, probably somewhere deep in Reddit or Mac Rumors or something, where there were groups, sort of white hat and black hat groups, that were trying to, or that were using phrases and sounds and songs, or like TV commercials or things on TV to do sneaky kind of backdoor entries into people's calendars or reminders or their Alexa, Google, Siri, HomePod type assistants. And that was what I was thinking of, is like, for every time that somebody tries to put something to block something that is a known problem, there are people that are going to work forensically around it to try and still repeat or make that thing happen. And so, sure, I can yell, "Hey, dingus, add a reminder to your phone for whatever," and Siri will just do it. It kind of knows your voice versus my voice, but not always. And the HomePod certainly doesn't care. But for every block that somebody puts up, someone is actively trying to work around it.
Laura or Yanni?
This is such a good story. So what do you hear? I want to know what you hear.
Look, to be honest, I have not even listened to it. All I know is that I see all over my social media.
You need to listen to it live on the show. No. I need you to know this. I need to know what you hear. Because for me, and this is going to sound a little ridiculous, but for me, this was kind of like a revelation in a way. Because I didn't know. I'll tell my version of the story since you brought it up. I somehow missed the boat, and we went out for Carrie's birthday was yesterday. So we went out to dinner with some friends last night.
How can you hear Yanni in this? It's Laurel.
That's amazing. Is that really what you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So I can hear both. I hear both, and I can kind of decide which one I want to focus on, because it's a frequency thing. It's like something says both, and then they're just laid on top of each other. And so when I first listened to it, I just heard what I always heard. But then when I was like, oh, well, I can hear one and I can hear the other. So you mean people can't just do that? And so for me, this was like, I have weird ears, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Another weird thing about Jen.
Can't help that my soft, crappy body works weird. But I was like, I did. That was the first time. Like, it's the same thing. You know, they compare it to the dress. Is it blue or is it orange? Right. And so for that, my eyes are regular old crappy eyes. I was like, oh, well, I guess it looks orange to me and or brown or whatever. But with the sound thing, I instantly heard both frequencies. It's like, I can see why one person hears one and why one person hears the other, but I can just tune that out and I can just tune the other one out. I can hear Yanni and I can hear Laurel.
So do you like just, do you do a twisty motion on your ear to adjust to frequencies and what you want to hear?
It's like a spidey sense. I just decide which one I want to focus on and then I just hear that one. But I tested it with one ear and the other ear and it's the same on both ears. And my right ear has been a little full since I had an ear infection and the flu in like 2010. And so my right ear is always kind of bothers me a little bit, but, I have been
reading into it a little bit on because I cannot get away from it. It's all over the social medias, but they did say it's like a high frequency type of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you can hear that, you hear one thing. If you can't, then you hear the other.
Yep. And so we joked because a long time ago when my sister has her dogs would bark, and so she bought one of those frequency like high frequency don't make your dog bark like things you plug into the wall.
Yeah.
And so then when my sister would start, you know, like yelling at my niece and nephew, I could hear the frequency thing going off because it heard my sister sort of apparently thinking that she was like barking at the kids. And I was like, the dog thing's going off. And she couldn't hear it at all. And I could hear the high-pitched dog thing.
Wow.
The same as like, you know, if there's like a tube TV running, can you ever hear the high-pitched tube?
Yeah, sometimes.
And so I would hear TVs go on like across the house. Those like stupid ears. So it's totally exactly.
There you go. Man, the things you learn about John on this show are amazing. You are a unique specimen.
I'm just a broken, broken person. I can't help it.
All right. Back to.
And you hear Laurel. I don't know if that's.
Okay. Don't even question me, okay? don't even get into this. I don't even want to get into it. So I think this is an interesting topic, something we can dive into. This is something we're talking about. And that is if everything goes well, WordPress 4.9.6 RC2 was released, and pending no major bugs or whatever, it's expected to be released tomorrow. But there's been some concern expressed by quite a few people that WordPress 4.9.6 is not really a minor update because it contains GDPR features, data export, data deletion tools. It contains a lot of strings, a lot of text that needs to be translated. And there's an argument to be made that this is really like a major update with minor update numbers. And one of the important facets of this is that minor updates, of course, of WordPress trigger the auto update system. So millions of sites, you know, if this is released tomorrow, will automatically update to 4.9.6, which contains these features and enhancements that are in this version that typically you would see in a major release of WordPress. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't believe WordPress, you know, there is this suggestion that maybe we should go to like a 4.10 or something like that, but I don't think WordPress has ever gone past .9
Correct.
In previous releases.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of a little strange conundrum. I mean, and I'll get your take on it. A, do you think that because of what's in this release feature wise, that it should be considered a major release and not trigger the auto update system? And B, we're in this predicament because WordPress 5.0 has been slated as the Gutenberg release, and we won't hit a WordPress 5.0 unless Gutenberg is ready.
It's an interesting problem. Because it is chicken and egg, really, we have really cornered ourselves, literally kind of painted ourselves into a very specific feature corner. What do you think? I think you know what I think, but I want to know what you think. The folks at SatelliteWP.com wrote up a really good summary about why this matters, what is it about, posted some links to tweets where conversations were happening about yes and no, why and why not. And so there's lots of good discussion happening about this, but I want to know your take.
Well, I mean, I like how we quoted what WordPress says a minor update is, and quote, a minor WordPress version is dictated by the third sequence. Version 3.9.1 is a minor release, so is 3.8.2. A minor release is intended for bug fixes and enhancements that do not add new deployed files and are at the discretion of the release lead with suggestions and input from component maintainers and committers. Mm-hmm. And if you sort of look at that, that sort of erases the idea that 4.9.6 is a minor release.
Mm. Yep. Sure does.
So, and Satellite WP, it's a WordPress maintenance company. They've even gone so far as to, for their clients, to disable automatic updates because of 4.9.6 and allow them time, or allow their customers time to test out this new version before it's deployed. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a case to be made here, and it challenges the status quo of how WordPress does releases over the past mm-hmm. so many years. And I hope that it looks like this is going to happen. So when 4.9.6 is released, I hope that everything works as intended, even though there's so much in this release, because the last thing the auto update system needs is more scrutiny and more reason for people out there to argue that automatic updates should not be a thing.
Mm-hmm. It is a risk. And that's what I think the Satellite WP post did a good job of, is making people aware of the potential risk of this release. It is a couple of problems, and the way that I see it. And the first problem is the same problem that has been talked and retalked for a very long time, which is the way that WordPress numbers its releases.
Yeah, it's not semantic versioning like WooCommerce switched to not too long ago.
And so for the uninitiated that are listening, if WordPress used semantic versioning, then the problem is that WordPress kind of only has majors and minors, and having it be one or the other means releases like 4.9.6 have to be one or the other. And the reason
this system works if 5.0 is not tied to Gutenberg, which is not done.
Yes and no, though, because GDPR is an important enough problem for the world to try to address that auto-updating everyone to include GDPR solutions means that people get that solution automatically, which is good for everyone. And if it was in a major release that did not auto update, then there would be fewer people that would click the button to get the GDPR features. So there is something nice about having this in an auto update, so that all of the GDPR features can get rapidly automatically deployed to all WordPress installs. So it is the corner that WordPress and all of us as maintainers and influencers or whatever else have kind of painted ourselves into is the technical limitations, the version number limitation, and whether or not Gutenberg and 5.0 need to be the same thing, I don't know is really even the problem, because we could do 4.10, 4.11, 4. Who cares? It doesn't matter. What matters is that 4.9.6 is going to get auto deployed and that everyone will get that the GDPR feature. And that's important because we are at the deadline. This is the release that happens before GDPR is a requirement.
So to that point, the post and satellite WP, I think, now this is a conversation, it's too late to be having, but he still raises an, I think, is an interesting question. He says, millions of sites will be affected by this new regulation, but should the global WordPress ecosystem be impacted by something that emanates solely from Europe or any other specific country or region on the planet? What makes the GDPR more important than spam filtering, SEO, multilingualism, or any other topics which affect a higher percentage of websites in this new EU directive? Yep. And therefore, he argues that all of this, all the GDPR stuff should have came in the form of a plugin.
And there is a part of me that agrees. There's a part of me that I go a little bit more that direction with a lot of things. Multi-site should probably have been a plugin. Comments by themselves should have probably been a plugin. So I go way off the other direction. But I think there's some merit to that argument. It is GDPR happens to be the thing that's forcing the issue. The code that's being written isn't being directly written to the letter of what GDPR requires, but is written to be GDPR compliant. It's kind of like saying that WordPress themes may or may not be government 508 American standardized accessible whatever. That doesn't stop anyone from making a theme that is, but it doesn't mean that the themes that ship with WordPress are not. It just happens to mean that WordPress strives for a certain standard of accessibility, and 508 requires a little bit more, a little bit less, and so you tune it to taste. And so WordPress is coming with some GDPR-oriented features. They're getting auto-updated. It's a lot happening all at once, but aside from I'm a little bit stuck on not liking the implementation of what is in here so far. And so I think that if anything makes GDPR or 4.9.6 feel or look wrong, it won't be because it wasn't 5.0 and it won't be because of auto updates. It'll be because people just don't like the way it works. And time will tell. Like the technical limitation of not being able to add new files in a minor release, that limitation means that 4.9.6 can't introduce privacy.php, or it had to get introduced in 4.9.5 the way that they said that it was here, or in 4.9. not 4.95, whatever else. So the technical limitations geared with the expectations of what releases mean, like if WordPress used semantic versioning, we would have a patch. We would be able to patch things. We would release a minor, and then our major would be something else. But because we consider 4.9, 4.8, 4.7, because those are majors for us and not minors, in order to do patch releases, we end up doing another decimal point, which has happened in WordPress's history and BuddyPress and everything else. 2.6.1.2, you know, like it does. It starts to not matter. And I don't think for most people that it does matter. But for us, the version number that WordPress uses doesn't make it any easier. It certainly doesn't help, but I don't think that it's a focal point. I think the fact that everyone is just going to get GDPR-related stuff, and GDPR-related things are not easy, and the features that are implemented here are a little bit rough. I'm trying to be nice, but...
You know, for lawyers out there, when they hear GDPR, I think all they hear is cha-ching.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
A lot of people will be paying them just so they can be educated by a lawyer on what they should do, what it is, what, you know, freaking out about it.
It would be an interesting thing to specialize in right now, like for or ahead of time, And maybe there were folks that were doing it. I know Automatic has spent a lot of time and employee time and money and educating themselves about what to do. But it's not region specific, I guess. Folks that think that something in a different country is driving what WordPress is doing, that happens all the time. But it happens with accessibility. It happens with translations. It happens with features, right to left. It happens with a lot of things. This just happens to be a thing that impacts all of us, that doesn't just impact people who need higher contrast, or doesn't people that need bigger typefaces, or people that whatever. It affects everybody.
Speaking of translations, because of all the text that is in 496 related to GDPR, privacy policy text help, there's like over 200 strings that need to be translated. Wow. And the post in Satellite WP says, as GDPR is related to law, shouldn't these translations be performed by legal staff and not by volunteers, as well intended as they may be? So what if we end up of having all these things translated into text into different languages that may not be, I don't know, in line with the GDPR or GDPR compliant? Or,
well, and it's
something interesting to think about.
On one hand, you know, we spent the past several years building a RESTful API for things, and whether or not WordPress did or didn't need an API, someone can argue that WordPress doesn't need to have GDPR features baked into core, or doesn't need multi-site.
Well, there's arguments that WordPress doesn't need everything that it has.
Right.
There's an argument for why it doesn't need it.
Yep. And so I can see it. I've heard all those arguments throughout all of the years. But I think if the goal is to give site owners tools that are privacy or kind of GDPR-like, then the only way to do that is to put it in a minor release, because those will auto-update.
I think maybe with the GDPR, the timelines, maybe 4.9.6 becomes an exception to the rule on the way WordPress releases and everything else has mm-hmm. gone down up to this point. Mm-hmm. I, for one, would like to see the point releases after this release go back to just being security fixes and bug fixes and not mm-hmm. introduce new features. Because mm-hmm. as we've seen before, even with just typical minor releases that just contain bug fixes and stuff, mm-hmm. sometimes one little change breaks something. They have to revert there. Right. They have to immediately come out with a new point release. So mm-hmm. looking at this as a minor release, this GDPR version 4.9.6, because of everything that's been added, it's a larger area of risk that's in this version.
And 4.9.6 has a lot of changes in it, not just GDPR stuff, but lots of other smaller things. So it isn't just GDPR related things. Right. It is some security things. It's some other minor little tweaks to things. So, and that doesn't mean that 4.9.7 won't come out and be exactly what you're talking about. It could just be bug fixes or whatever else. But now is the time to give everyone GDPR related things, because everyone that has been working pretty much nonstop night and day on GDPR related things in WordPress core right now, they have 9 days, right, from today until the 25th, where you release 4.9.6 today or tomorrow. You've got 8 days worth of feedback to try and tighten everything up to maybe put out a 4.9.7 on the 24th. And so it's not ideal, I don't think, but it is what it is. And so this is what everyone's decided to do. And so you got to get behind it and go, okay, well, how do we make sure everything is okay? And
so in RC2, contains 20 additional bug fixes. So in total, there's about 60 bug fixes in 4.9.6 and 34 enhancements / feature requests.
Because mm-hmm. if WordPress was my project and this was happening, I think I agree that I would not release this software this way myself. That doesn't mean that what's happening is wrong, but it means that if I had control over what was happening, that this would not be what I would prefer to happen. I would say we wait, or we, I don't know what, iterate on the feature more. We give ourselves the extra 7 days. We not build a REST API, but build privacy features instead. I don't know. You put resources wherever you can, and whoever's willing to work on a thing. And this is the best effort that we've got for the GDPR related features. And sometimes the best thing you can do is put forth your best effort and hand the ball over to somebody else to run with it. And so in a way, that's kind of what's happening here a little bit. Everyone has spent a lot of time, cranked out their best effort for GDPR stuff. This is it now. And back to patches welcome, and let's improve it over time. And the problem, and so this is the problem with scale. As more users, as more people use it, as more people become critical of it, people's expectations get higher. And in order to meet those high expectations, you have to keep operating at like higher and higher levels. And if anything, that's what makes open source software development really difficult, is that the ceiling is always really low. You don't always have as many volunteers. You don't always have your best pinch hitters showing up to do their best work all the time, because they have other stuff that they're doing too. And so it is important, if for some perspective's sake, to remember that these are all largely still volunteers. This is the best that they could do together, given the time that they had to work on the feature. And rather than be like, yeah, we were critical, and I am critical, but it is because of love. It's not because of just negative cynicism. This is the best that everyone could come up with. This is the deadline that they have ahead of them. The best we can do is be supportive, provide feedback, provide patches, provide ideas, and move on, because this is what everyone's decided to do. So whether or not I agree doesn't matter. You have to chug through it and help.
Speaking of moving on, why don't we do that? Let's move on.
Speaking of
when I go to the GDPR website, I want a video to autoplay of the final countdown. Yeah, I love that song. Never gets old.
Gets old instantly. But I get you. I get what you're saying.
I want it to play every time I get to the last 10 seconds on my microwave, just so it's playing it.
I want that to happen.
My new microwave.
Every time you enter the room, I want that song to play.
The final countdown.
I'm going to have it queued up on my phone now, so that when we go to, are you going to Dayton? WordCamp Dayton this weekend? No?
No, I'm not. No.
No.
Nope.
Okay. I was going to drive to Dayton just to play that song for you.
Oh, man. So humanmade.com, Peter Wilson published a great post on a recent project your company did. They had a partnership with Fairfax Media, big-time enterprise-level client, and they actually rebuilt the WordPress edit screen for them. So in this post, they talk about the technical challenges they overcame, including they actually created their own publish meta box, and they called it the Publish Box of the Future, I believe, something to that effect. But they also used CMB2 to create custom meta boxes. There's all these different fields. A really insightful post. They even talk about one of those one-off errors they discovered because of how the REST API and revisions and saves works. Mm-hmm. So, and how they utilize the WordPress REST API. There's a lot of technical mumbo jumbo to me in this post, but you know, for those who want to see how WordPress can scale and how it's used, how companies are using it in enterprise level projects, this will provide great insight for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this was kind of interesting timing, because we have talked about Gutenberg quite a bit, and we've brought up the idea of, you know, Gutenberg is a plugin now, and how long it should stay that way, or whether or not it should be, or anything else, and so. It's interesting to see a completely separate take on a completely different totally different use case for publishing with WordPress. Here's a different interface. Like Gutenberg is all about UI, block-based, fancy visual editing. And then here's a completely opposite, honestly, approach to providing a team of folks the very linear top-down, left-to-right walkthrough of creating the content that they need to create in a way that still looks like WordPress, feels like WordPress, but has a very unique, isolated set of properties to help them do what they need to do inside of it. And we do that with post types, and we do that with plugins, and all this happens all the time. But the timing on this, I thought, was important, because when Gutenberg gets merged into Core, or when whatever, this will still be their preferred editing interface for what they do. For publishing a post, it's still a post, but this is the interface that they're going to prefer to do it. So the REST API may have made that easier or possible in a way that it wasn't before. But we'll see more of this. This is a good first show, and the post is great. Peter's great. I got to hang out with Peter at WordCamp US a couple of times now and spent a lot of time with him. We had a lot of fun. This post was awesome, but it looks pretty. What did you think? I really like the way that they designed this too. I think it looks really good. The tabbed interface is smart. The red or the green bar on the publish box is very obvious to what's going on. Lots of little subtle cues and hints in this post that it was super good.
Yeah, if I remember, I asked Human Made, I think Peter Wilson responded that they've handed off the CMS their project to their internal CMS team there. So even when Gutenberg is part of WordPress Core, they're going to stick with the custom solution that they've built.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me at all. And they should. So, yeah, it's great.
So Medium, they've done another pivot and pretty much said, screw you to the rest of the people, rest of the publishers that were using their system. The company shuttered a two-year program. This is an article by TechCrunch, by the way, that let Media run paid subscription services on its site. So there's 21 remaining subscription publishing partners. And some of them received the notice. Others complained that they didn't. And it's costing some of these publishers up to $25,000.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
We got a third guest on the show.
Oh, maybe my mic is too hot. Yeah. This conversation happening.
It sounds like she's in the same room with you.
Yeah, she's just over the wall.
Yeah. That's what's happening now. Well, that's interesting.
I can mute myself, I suppose.
Let's hear what she's saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. So, but yeah, so this is just another, I mean, we've talked about Medium before, and this is the case for every other service that you build a membership platform on or a business on or anything that requires generating revenue. When you do it on somebody else's foundation, you're at their mercy. And this just goes back to owning your data, owning your content. It's one of the greatest strengths of WordPress or any other open source CMS. And there you go. But you know, for some businesses, it becomes an expensive lesson.
Yep. And it goes that way every day with everything. So I think most organizations like this are better off hosting their own thing or having their own internal group that can manage it. Trusting Medium or any platform just doesn't seem like a good long-term solution for companies that are trying to be long-term. Trying to rely on somebody else and trust that they're not going to change the platform or sell your data or whatever else, just it doesn't work. But then we just talked about at the beginning of the show today with ads, is it doesn't stop everyone from owning third party analytics and who's using what where all over the place and gleaning insight from things about your content that maybe you don't want or care for them to glean out of your content. So how far do you go with owning your own content? Do you own your own analytics? Do you own your own servers? Do you own your own just WordPress, or what else do you, where do you stop? Cause it's a slippery slope. I ran my own GitLab for a while to have all everything off of GitHub, just to, in case I wanted to have a separate private repo or couldn't. I didn't want to pay GitHub to shell out for 15, 45 private repos. So it's easier to host my own GitLab server. But spiritually, I don't want to host. I like having control of my own Git and my own code and running my own GitLab instance. But it gets expensive. I can just have GitLab or GitHub do it. But what if GitHub goes bad? I don't know. So it's nice to have a backup. But it is real easy to go too far one direction or too far the other. So it's too bad to see Medium, I don't know, doing this again. But
speaking of Git, where I come from, Git is a technology term. I mean, get out of here. Git.
Git. Yeah, it's, yeah. Do you say that to Smokey? Is that what happens?
Get
Get
him. Get him. Get him. All right. We don't need to add the accent onto that. It just happens.
You're better at it. You're better at it than I am.
Well, you know, it's the whole Midwest thing. So before we wrap it up here, I want to talk a little bit about Alex Mills. You may know him as Viper 007 Bond. He's the guy behind the Regenerate Thumbnails plugin. Has his own Viper. That makes sense, and he works at Automatic. And back in 2016, he had written about a post on his personal site about how he has leukemia. So for the better part of 2 years, he's gone through a couple of bone marrow transplants and taking different kinds of medication, trying to get through the cancer. At one point, it relapsed. He recently has been publishing some updates to his condition, and his latest one, he talks about vision. Apparently, he's lost some of the vision. His doctors seem to trace it back to a very rare side effect on the antibiotics he was taking. So he says that he currently has a blind spot, sort of shaped like a C in the middle of his right eye. And although his brain is learning to compensate for it by switching which eye is the dominant one, it's unlikely that the blind spot will heal. And he says, I like some of his analogy. He says the world seems like it's lower resolution. He says he has to use bigger fonts on digital devices. The contrast and brightness of things has gone down. So at times he has trouble telling similar colors apart, but it depends on the day and time. And he's had to change colors in his code editors, and he can no longer make out the individual pixels on a screen. He says that really sucks. Yeah, so right. Some of his vision has improved, but it looks like some permanent damage has been done, but I wanted to send a shout out and my best wishes to Alex for battling leukemia, getting through this and hoping that better days are on the horizon and we could put this leukemia behind you.
Well, knowing Alex, he will flip this into an opportunity. Mm. You know, he'll be able to use his experience and his perspective to make things better for folks that have similar vision problems. Now, if he's not already doing that across, or anything that he's working on, which I'm not sure what exactly Alex has been working on, but.
Well, he did a complete rewrite with JavaScript of the Regenerate Thumbnails plugin. So there's that, but I'm not sure what he's been working on lately.
And that has a million installs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if there is anything that was ripe for being in WordPress core, something with a million installs that does something so basic and similar seems like that would be it. But,
by the way, he was taking some medication that was $65,000. I think it was experimental.
I remember him saying
because of his health insurance, Automatic, he only had to pay a $10 copay.
Whew, it's crazy. That? I remember him saying that's nuts. That's just a whole other show on American healthcare.
Well, I only said that because of that's pretty good health coverage you can get.
Super good.
And I know for Audrey Capital, who I work for, it's a different company altogether from Automatic. But we go through a system where I actually get to choose different plans that I want, and okay, yeah. I want to see we could do a whole other show on it. Just every time the plans comes around, it's like we'll do higher numbers for the plans, mean it's better coverage, and it's very hard to decipher which coverage, which plants are the best?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, usually the answer is no, but sometimes, but no. I remember those days, the same thing. So shout out to Alex. I haven't seen Alex in a long time, but he's done a good job of blogging and sharing what he's been going through. And so love you, buddy. Hopefully everything, you know, stays on the up and up.
So we'll wrap it up here by having John tell you what you can do if you like scavenger hunts and Easter eggs and, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, you want to talk about my own stuff again? I like that you're giving me like some time during the show now to talk about my own stupid stuff.
Well, I'm only talking about it because, well, Stutter Play. Oh, Flax.io. That's the business you're sunsetting.
That's the one that's going away. Yeah. So the name is confusing. So the Flax name was, it's played its course. I feel like that.
The furry Kirby looking thing though.
Oh, the sheep head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sheep head. That's right.
It's a sheep's head. Which means think of Kirby for some reason. I don't think so. I mean, maybe we'll see. I don't know. I'm going to stick with what I think works and know and everything and get rid of the Flax company and pivot to something else, I think. But that's my favorite part about writing software is the Easter eggs and like the hidden ways that you can make things, all the little nods that somebody will find and go, oh, that's really cool that does that thing. That's like the best part of movies, video games, anything media related, being able to identify something from a different movie or something from a different series or whatever. Those are the things that make you feel a little bit more included. And so I do that a lot with my plugins and my code. So all of my little Stutter plugins that I released in the past 2 years or so all work together. If you have them all active, they all do link up and iterate. What is this,
the WordPress version of Ready Player One? Are you hiring me? I got to go through the game and find all your eggs and stuff?
You don't have to, but if that's a thing you enjoy, you can go through and do it. But I forget what I was thinking about when I tweeted that or when I saw that. But we did just see Infinity War. Do you go to the movies? We don't go to the movies very often.
If I do go to the movies, it's on Tuesday because it's half price. But no, I have not been in the movies in a while.
Infinity War was pretty good, if you care about superhero stuff.
So I've heard. I mean, I'm not in depth into the characters and the superhero stuff, but I've heard Infinity War is a tearjerker. It's a comedy, and it nails a lot of things.
It was pretty funny.
Overall good movie.
There were some jokes that I actually laughed out loud at, like in the theater, that were really, really funny to me. I thought it was really good.
An actual LOL.
Yeah. So I have a couple of plugin updates I need to do, but yeah, all of my dumb little plugins that are all, you know, installed by dozens of people at this point.
And I like how your link to your Stutter plugins was an article on the Tavern that we wrote about them.
Well, you know, wow, Sarah was nice enough to cover that a long time ago. So we'll bring it all back. But that's what I like about software. It's what I like about being able to write something and create something. If I ever am able to make a video game, you know, a video game would have references to things in your life or you name stuff in ways that only a small subset of people that care noticed. If you read a book and
that's why you like Ready Player One. It's all about that stuff.
Yeah. I think that's cool. That's why I think all like Infinity War has lots of references, subtle things to old movies or comic books and stuff where if you know, it matters and it means a lot and you feel special, you know, cause you know something. So, it's a franchise. All of my little plugins are their own little franchise of things. And, they all have play off each other in nice ways. So yeah.
Boy, that's
it's funny that you mentioned that. Yeah.
So
it's the same way that your lawnmower plays off of your yeah.
My debit card.
Debit yes, card. They all come from the same bank account.
So that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly, unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
I don't think that I do. I mean, it was Carrie's birthday yesterday, so I feel like we should all say happy birthday,
Carrie.
Carrie.
I hope you find the goat thief.
We also hope we find a goat thief. We have gotten our entertainment value out of those goats, so we assume those goats are never coming back. But I don't know. Do you have anything? Is this like a short week this week? Are we less than an hour? Now I feel obligated.
Actually, we had to restart it when we restarted the show. It was about 3:10, so actually we're over an hour. Yeah, just like we always do. in 4 minutes would be the magic time. I don't know if we're going to
Me, are we ending the 3:16 show at 3:16?
I could do that. Hold on, let me stop broadcasting. This episode and all other episodes on WP Tavern. .com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0, and John.
JJJ.blog and at JJJ on GitHub and Twitter.
Awesome. So we'll be back again with the, possible fallout of WordPress 4.9.6.
It'll be fine.
Kinds of other goodies. It'll be fine. So until next Wednesday, everybody have a safe, enjoyable rest of the week. We'll talk to you again next week. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. It's going to be fine.